Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. I'm Greg Whiting, and today's reading is from Mark chapter 7 and 8. So I encourage you to turn there, follow along as I read. We will pray and ask God's Spirit to help us to understand this passage of Scripture. On Saturdays, we are in the Gospels, reading through different genres of Scripture. If you haven't listened to the introductory podcast, please do so, and that explains what we're doing here. So, Father, I come to you and ask you to help us to understand, help me to understand your word, to see you through it, to see Jesus, to see myself in relationship with you, and to see how I can take another step towards you, just from Bible reading and meditation and prayer and application. So, Father, please do that now as I read. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 7. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" This, I have to just pause here. This sounds like a question mothers or grandmothers might ask. All right, verse 6. He replied, that is, Jesus replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions.'" And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is Corban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared, "All food's clean." Amen to that, by the way. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." Just a pause there for a moment. As I just think about these, this happened all the time, of course, with Jesus and the religious leaders, the Pharisees in this case, were questioning why his disciples are not doing the traditions. It's not that washing your hands is not a good thing. Obviously, in our culture, it's like that's the thing you do. You should do that. And with our situation right now with COVID-19, it's like wash and wash and sanitize and all of that. But what we're talking about here is man-made rules that they didn't just put on their own family, like these are good things to do for us to stay healthy. They were putting this on everybody, saying, "You have to do this to be right before God." And here it is, God in the flesh, who's saying, no, Isaiah was right when he said about you guys, it's all about what you say, but your hearts, the most important thing, are really far from me. So you put all these rules on other people. But it's not to care for people. It's not for grace and mercy and love. It's just because they're your rules and you don't really follow them yourselves. It's not about what you eat. It's not about what you put in your body. This is about a heart issue. What you think, that comes out. Verse 24. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. This might sound kind of strange, of Jesus talking to this woman, and yet, if you've read enough about what Jesus does in the Gospels, we know that he's testing her faith. And when she shows that her faith is strong, he says that she has what she asked for. Verse 31. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Israel to place his hand on him, or begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. All right, this is not COVID-19 regulations here. That was my addition. Verse 34. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Again, we don't always understand, especially I don't really get when Jesus says, "Don't say something, do say something." And I know that he knows what he's doing, and he's trying to guide them, but we also are able to see that when Jesus changes a life, it's pretty difficult for people to stay quiet. And they see that he is even able to make the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is not anything any other God was able to do that they worshiped. Chapter 8. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied. I mean, aren't they having deja vu by now? Aren't they remembering? Verse 6, he told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. So just take a pause here to understand. Yes, these are 2 different stories. This is not just, well, one of the Gospels gave this story, one of the Gospels gave the other story about the 5,000 plus, and there's just some differences of opinion. It's the same thing. No, John gives both and gives us the differences. Still a testing of faith for his disciples. And there are several differences there. You can see that this is a different event. Verse 11. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus to test him. They asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. So when they say a sign, they're typically asking for some kind of prophecy that they can see come true, or another miracle. That's another word for it. A miracle that he would do that they would accept somehow, even though they have heard about and seen some of these other miracles. Verse 14. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." Okay, so here we go. Jesus using a physical thing like bread, this one loaf they had with them, to teach them something spiritual. They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Okay, here's something else normal for them and for us. They don't really get exactly what Jesus is talking about at first. Verse 17, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you not still see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" I mean, I would probably do the same thing the disciples did. And yet I read this, I'm like, wow, Jesus is saying, "Hey, are your hearts so hardened you cannot see what's happening? You just saw me feed 4,000 plus. You saw me feed 5,000 plus. You had all those basketfuls left over. Aren't you getting it? Aren't you understanding?" Verse 22. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't even go into the village." Okay. So here we go. Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew the timing of things. He knew what he wanted to emphasize in people's lives. And he healed in so many different ways. It's amazing. This was not a formulaic type of healing that he was teaching his disciples. This was about faith. This was about authority from God that he had, that he was using based on faith. Verse 27. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Okay, again, we need to put this into context. I don't know if I mentioned earlier about John, but journeying through John, studying John, preaching about John, but I realize I'm reading in Mark. So what contrasted the feeding of the 5,000 for the 4,000 was that he mentions it here that had already happened. So you have this idea again, though, of, and we see it all through John, where Jesus saying, basically, "My time has not yet come." And that has to do partly with not talking about some of the things that he's doing and saying, because that will come at the right time. He knew what was going on in the culture around him. He knew how different people would respond to things. And he's also, I think, trying to teach his disciples faith and to trust fully in him. They are seeing who he is. Despite their issues with understanding it all. Verse 31, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Okay, taking Jesus aside to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Peter is saying probably what the other disciples were thinking, what we would be thinking. Don't be talking about dying. Don't be talking about being killed. And they weren't even getting the idea of being risen again. That was not their way. That was not their plan. Verse 34. And I'll come back to that, I think, for application. Verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels." Wow. All right, well, I guess my thoughts come to what we're reading near the end here. This idea of discipleship. You know, he just said, "I'm going to go and I'm going to die. I'm going to be killed." And he's using this idea that they didn't fully understand yet, that Jesus was going to have to go through this, when he says, if you want to be my disciple, you have to take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. He had just called Peter Satan. Why did he call him Satan? Because Satan opposes God. Satan turns people's minds and hearts and anybody he can devour, turns them against God's ways and says, this is my way, even my religious way. This is the way I think things should happen. And Jesus said, whenever you do that, you're like Satan who opposes me. And so for me, my takeaway is just a reminder what it means to follow Jesus. It's not about being comfortable. It's not about being disease-free. It's not about getting rid of COVID-19 as soon as possible, although we can still pray for that. But it's about being like Jesus, following him. And when that means saying things that people won't like, and when that means doing things people won't understand, and when that means sharing the gospel and truth, even in the midst of what's going on in our world that might be opposed, I need to do it, because that's following Jesus. That's denying myself, wanting people to think nicely of me. Instead, I want to please him. And so I want to consider how to do that even today, this weekend, and as we continue through this time in our world. And I want to ask you to pray, and then to really consider what your application is from these chapters today. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you that I believe when we ask your Holy Spirit to teach us, when we have the right heart and humble ourselves before you, that you do answer that prayer. And Lord, this is what you pointed out to me today. And so I want to walk with you today. I want to deny myself today. I want to put you first. I want to put others first and the gospel first. And may you be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen.